The great Donovan is here, too. Yeah. Gribs and Grooves are back at the studio with Seabass. Back at the studio is just right next door. Where we are is the AAC, the old number 7 club. And joining us now is fitting into this tiny chair is Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah.
Hey, Dirk.
You may have heard of him.
Hello.
Hello, Dirk.
What's going on, big man?
Good, you?
It's all good. It's all good to finally get together. It's been so long. Have you done anything in the last year?
Partied. reached my dream, and that was that's it.
It's a pretty good year.
Yeah, I think if you would have told me during the year, I would have had my doubts, you know, especially there in January, February, hit a couple bumps in right before the playoffs, too, and the way we just rode it through, got hot in the playoffs, that was amazing, and something that group of guys I'll probably never forget for the rest of my life.
So you get asked a million times before you ever win the whole thing, things about that, like, do you need that to feel like you have a complete career? You know, just all these championship questions. You were asked those for years and years and years and years. Do you remember how you would answer those before the ring? Like, would you try to play them down? I'm trying to remember how you would answer those. Like, no big.
I mean, I'd probably say, like, yeah, I still had a decent career, but there's always a but coming, you know, but he never has the ring. He never carried a team all the way to the top, so. And I always said I'd love to get that butt away. So I'll try to answer all the questions honest, you know. That's how I usually do it for the last 14 years, and that's the way I do it. And it's true. I mean, there is always a butt. I mean, Charles and whatever, and Pat Ewing, all those guys had unbelievable careers, but they just didn't get it all.
Did the media make that up, too? Like, did we put that into your head? Not we, of course.
Well, you know, I think once if you play in this league and you're a competitor, ultimately you want to be the best. You want to be on the best team. You want to say, hey, for that season, we're the best team out there, and I was a part of it. And so, yeah, that's why we compete, to be the best. We don't compete to finish second or third. So, ultimately. Yeah, that's only the best counts. I mean, there is no, even in the NBA, there's no second place finish. So
it's just so much about the team, though, as you've proven. I don't feel like you're any better of a player than when we talked to you last year.
Probably worse.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, if you had never won one, I don't see how that diminishes how good you were.
Yeah,
you know, it just means the guys around you weren't able to, or your front office or whoever wasn't able to.
Probably the front office.
Yeah, let's blame them.
Cuban.
Just putting together the team around you, or the proper parts in place sure was ever going to happen.
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, if you look at Stockton Malone, what they did in Utah, and they just happened to run into Jordan, who was probably the best player ever to play the game, and they happened to run him twice or three times in the final, and they lost. So. And Charles, the same thing. When he was in Phoenix, they probably had the best, team that year, and they happened to run into MJ in the finals and fall up short.
So
you can probably make a case for both sides.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing. I mean, you got to live with yourself, and if you can remember pre-championship Dirk, which I'm sure you can, I mean, you'd have to in some way come to peace with this may not happen. In fact, this probably won't happen. That's where we were sitting 12 months ago, right? It probably won't happen for you.
Well, you know, I basically signed on in the summer of 2010 for four more years, and we had a great talk with Cuban, obviously, before I committed, and he said, hey, I'm going to put all my sources out there again to keep a great team around you and hopefully make it happen. So obviously never dreaming that we will make that happen in our first. You know, if you would ask me in 06, I would be like, yeah, let's in 07, let's play the Heat again and let's grind it out. But, you know, then it took us so long and you have a bunch of first-round exits. You know, really, I would have played anybody in the finals just for us to get back there. It was such a grind, and nobody actually thought we could ever get back there. So I would have played anybody, and it just happened to play out that way. And I mean, if you look at both teams, Chicago is a great team, so they slugged it out in the Eastern Conference Finals, and so it could have gone could have gone either way, and obviously we're happy the way it ended.
So when they were – tell us about what you were thinking when they were doing the Western Conference trophy presentation after you beat Oklahoma City and you walked off the stage.
Well, I actually didn't try to stiff Doris Burke or anything. I did an interview right after the game was over for I think it was ESPN or whatever. And then I didn't think she was actually going to ask me to get on the mic again. So after I held up the trophy, I was like, okay, this is it. I'm out of here. And then I heard she was looking for me on the mic, which obviously looked a little bad. But if I would have known she would have asked me again, I would have probably stayed. But at that point, I didn't really feel like celebrating. You know, that we had one of those trophies, and it didn't mean anything in the end. And I just felt like, you know, getting out of there and already thinking about the finals, really. Because, I mean, you have to win four rounds to win it all, and that was only round three. So that's how I looked at it. There was nothing really to celebrate.
You're so badass the team followed you. It just looked like a team effort, a team thought that this isn't far enough. Like that in the media. I don't know.
Yeah,
if you were thinking
lie
that at
to
the
us.
Time.
We don't want to hear that today. Yeah. It was a mistake. We want you to lie and say, screw this
it
trophy.
Just like they're all following you and your mentality.
I would have never, done anything to the media. I mean, like I said, it looked bad looking back now that she was looking for me.
It looked awesome.
It looked
great. Did not look bad. It was. It gave us chills to this day thinking about that.
I wouldn't have done that. I would have stayed if I would have known. I would have had one more appearance at the mic. But,
but it's so cool.
The way to me, Cuban had it. I had it. I raised it. We took some pictures, and to me, the celebrations were over.
But it's so cool that they had to tell someone to, like Jed Terry, hey, go get the trophy because you guys just left it there.
Oh,
well,
then there's the picture where it's just like sitting in a laundry basket in the training room. That's awesome.
And it's just not that important.
Yeah.
It's like it's as cool as the one suit story. What's that?
Whose idea was one suit?
I think that's an old idea. Wasn't that? Pat Riley used to do that with the Showtime.
Yeah.
Showtime Lakers.
I wondered with you guys, though, who spread the word on that.
I don't know. I think Mario Ely, when he was here as an assistant coach, he used to always say, hey, wear black. It's a funeral today. So every time we had a chance to close out games, and last year when we wore black, and that was just our thing. And I think Mario Ely started it when he was here with Avery. Every playoff series we tried to do, even though we didn't win many. but we still tried it. So last year it worked a little better. So it was funny in Miami for Game 6. I mean, you look in and everybody's just wearing black, and that was awesome.
All right, this is the great Dirk, his annual visit with us. We've been doing it since 1999, big guy. I don't know if you realize that.
Really?
But we've
you guys been around that long?
Yeah. We've in fact, I think we started about the same year you got here. So
nice.
Let's keep it going, huh?
Let's do it.
All right, so I was really interested in your artifact collection because I asked you about this last July, and I think you said you have two souvenirs along the way now with the Muhammad Ali glove. Because and just take us through that. So you're kicking it somewhere after the title, and a package arrives or something?
Yeah, actually, what happened was they shipped it here, I think, to the Mavericks, not to my home address, so... I picked it up. I think it was before July.
Okay.
And
before the lockout,
before the lockout,
throw all your clothes out on the curb.
Exactly. And I got it, and I didn't know what it was. So I opened it up, and it's first there's a letter and explains everything, who he is, the guy who was with Muhammad every day, who's taking care of him, and it's basically a letter, a certificate letter. Of authenticity or whatever you say it, and I read the letter and then I opened the box and it was the glove in there, and it says, you know, you're the greatest from Muhammad Ali, and I mean that sent chills down my spine. I mean what an unbelievable thing, and that definitely is hanging right in my house where I see it every day when I walk by. I mean that's probably the most special gift.
Were you able to get word back to him somehow?
Yeah, I actually sent a basketball back.
Oh, did you?
A signed one, basically saying...
Yes, I am the greatest.
No, I said, you got that one wrong. You're the greatest. So, I sent him an autographed basketball. And Yeah, I think obviously after the championship, that was definitely the most special thing I got.
And then the other thing I really like, which wasn't part of the championship, but I love the story of the Larry Bird practice jersey. Can you tell us that one?
Well, I think actually Carlisle got that one for me when he first got here.
And I was gonna say, if I'm not mistaken, he stole it when he was a player.
He snagged it
in 86.
You know, I guess him and Bird were pretty close.
Yeah.
At least that's what he likes to tell everybody. he used to massage him and stretch him and stuff. And like, it's a little too much. But, yeah, I guess he just took it from me in one of those championship years. And when he got here, he said, you know, you remind me of Bird a lot and the way you play and your dedication to the game. And he said that this will be a great gift for you. And I looked at it, and it's sweet. And I guess while he was in Indy a couple years later, he had it signed. And it said, to a great player, to Dirk, to a great player from Larry Bird. So I got that one hanging up in my office. So, yeah, I got a couple great souvenirs along the ride.
Did he bring that to Germany with him? Did Carlisle come out and visit you in Germany?
He
or something?
Did, right? Okay. After we signed him, he came to Germany. And
probably a good idea.
Yeah, that was good. And we
hung out.
He watched some practices of me and Holger in Germany. And at that time, it was actually Euros, the championship, and soccer. So there were watch parties everywhere. We took Carla to a European, to a German watch party. We put the German flag on his cheeks and stuff.
Really?
My dad made a drink, a couple pints. That was great bonding in Würzburg with Carla for sure.
Your dad, he visited during the playoffs. Was that the only playoffs besides? I was listening to an old TV report that said he hadn't visited you in the playoffs since 2006.
Well, he usually comes back in April. This year he happened to stay a little longer, and he caught just the first two home games of the Portland series. So he caught just the beginning. Then he went home, and then when we made it to the finals, they all wanted to come back, my dad, my sister, and her husband, and I said no. So
really?
Yeah, because they came in 06 and we lost.
Oh.
So I was a little superstitious there, and I told them I just want to keep everything the same. And
were they cool?
Yeah, not really.
Oh.
During I said it, they were like, yeah, we understand. But once I came home this summer and they saw all the pictures and the celebration stuff, and they're still not over it, I think. So I got to take them on a nice vacation or something.
Yeah, you got to make it up to them.
Like, did they think you were joking? Like, yeah. We're going to come to Dallas. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just kidding, right, Dirk? No?
Yeah, a little bit, I think. At the beginning, they're like, yeah, whatever. He's going to get over it tomorrow. He's going to tell us we can come. And then that didn't really change my mind. So
that called it
I feel tough now, you know, knowing we won it. I probably would have wanted them to be here and see it. See the parade, what was going on in Dallas, what it meant for the city.
But you might not have won had they been here.
That's the thing.
That's your superstition,
you know? Yeah,
isn't
that's, even, and usually I'm not really superstitious. You know, Jet is the craziest superstition guy I've ever seen. You know, he's got to wear his 8 pairs of socks and stuff. And I'm not really that superstitious normally, but just at that moment I was like, let's just keep it all the same. You know, we've been rolling through the playoffs. We're just basically Holger here, and that's how I kept it, and so now I feel a little bad, but I'll make it up again.
That's sweet.
We have no idea what would have happened differently, and you don't second guess. There's too much to this fairy tale. I think the stuff you were talking about getting the flu the day of game 4, you know, sounds like you wake up and you come here and they get you a treatment, and then you go home and shut it down, and then you go home right after the game and you're all sweaty in the press room and you get right out of here again. If mom and dad are at the house or whatever,
she's telling you to call in sick,
make
call
it soup. Six, yeah, huh? We can't let the media find out. That
she would have been so worried in the finals. I'll be sick. Oh my God, she probably would have slept in the same bed. Yeah, no, maybe it was a good thing.
So, what did you think when the D Wade coughing video came out?
Well, I thought it was a little unfortunate, you know. Not that I really needed some extra motivation in the finals, but I just, I said it then, and that's what I felt. I felt a little disrespected. I mean, I never, I never faked an injury or an illness in my career before. I always try to be out there for my team. So, but that was it. That was it. I didn't have any hard feelings after that. And when we went out there and won Game 6, and like I said then, I don't really need any extra motivation. This is just the finals. We lost in 06. I'm one win away from basically, realizing my dreams. So that was really it.
It just seems like it made it extra odd. It's like facing them instead of the Bulls. If you had faced the Bulls, it would have been awesome. But it was extra awesome to face the Heat and LeBron.
Yeah.
And after they coughed. The whole...
Looking back at it now, like I said, it was a perfect script, you know.
Yeah.
But
And your career almost has been too, only that we've talked about other guys like Emmitt Smith or somebody who gets real early success. Do you appreciate it as much as when you have the climb? And then, in retrospect, losing to Miami makes that script even way better. Although I'm sure in 2006 I couldn't have convinced you that this is great, that you're losing here.
Yeah, it was what it was. I mean, to be honest, I would have loved to win one when I was 20, 21.
Yeah, and have six or seven.
Come in
of
the
them,
league, sit on the bench a little bit, and let some other guys do the work and win a ring. I'll take it. But for me, this was the way, and it took a long time, but I definitely appreciate it more. And when I go to Golden State now, you know, they still have that. When I kick the trash can, there's this hole in the wall in Golden State now when we lost in 07. And now they made it a wall of fame for me, assigned it. They put a little plastic thing over it. So it's my wall now. And reporters asked me, so you're fine with it now? All of a sudden you win it all, and now everything is forgotten. I was like, no, that's not true. I think all this is a part of my career, you know, the first round exit in 07, the lost finals, and all that made me a better player, made me a better closer in the end of games that I was, and that really helped us, I think, last year in the playoffs. So all those disappointing losses just drove me more to ultimately be the best player I can be.
Well,
so
you kicked a lot of things.
I did kick.
Kicked in Miami?
That soccer background.
That soccer background is coming through. But, yeah, so in Golden State in 07, I think either I threw or I kicked the trash can, and it flew so high it made a hole up in like 10 feet in the air.
Oh,
even
wow.
Higher than that. Yeah, it's about 10 feet in the air. There's a hole in
And it's still there.
It's still there. So what they did last year, they asked me, so, hey, we kind of make this a special wall. So for them, obviously, it was a great, great memory. As an 8 seed, they beat number 1 seed. And I was like, I played along, and I was like, sure. So they made a little plexiglass thing. I signed it. I said 07 or what it was. Yeah, there was a thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
They put it over the hole. And
oh, this is it? A picture?
This is the Wall of Fame.
That is great. We got a picture of it.
That's a major hole.
We got to tweet that out.
You must have picked it up. There's no way you could kick it.
See,
I
forgot. Somebody said I kicked it, but it's a little high.
Strong on set pieces, they always say. That is a soccer scouting report.
Yeah, you threw that.
Did you do a bicycle kick? Or? Would you like to see Dirk do a bicycle kick?
Yeah, that's great.
I
can you?
Anything Peter Crouch could do, I think Dirk could probably do
that. I saw that. That was a great goal, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Although Dan has no idea what we're talking about, but it's kind of cool.
I'm assuming it's a soccer
that you and I have a secret language we can speak to each other. All right, so the moment that I want to know about is this. Like John Elway got to get his crowning achievement and then leave. Like that was it. Like at some point, even as fans, you're always like, man, if we can only win one title, I promise I'll never ask for anything else and I'll be happy forever. And as the guy at the middle of it, as a guy who, I mean, we don't know about all the sessions with Holger. We don't know about all that. We don't know about the practice sessions or staying after practice. We just know that they beat the stinking Heat and we had a parade and Dirk was singing from the balcony. I mean, at some point, dude, you had to look around from the mountaintop and say, now what? Right? At some point, you had to spend, whether it was on a beach or in your car or wherever, you had to say, man, there's no way to top this, is there?
Yeah, I think it took a while to really sink in. I think at the beginning, you were all over the place. We had the parade here, then I flew to Germany a week later, had the parade there, which was amazing. And then I kind of had to get away a little bit, and then I had to start training so quick again because I had to play in the Euros. because I wanted to help the young guys to make it to the Olympics, which obviously now looking back was a brutal choice. I shouldn't have played, but, you know, it was what it was. So, and it really took after the Euros where I finally, which was a good thing for me that there was a lockout. So I was able to, like, 2 months of doing nothing, just put the feet up, which I really should have done after the championship. And then it started sinking. Then I started to look at some of the championship DVDs, some of the looked some of the endings on YouTube of the games, and then it definitely sunk in. Like, this is amazing. We pulled this off with an older team. With the chemistry was great, and just everything was just perfect last year. So, yeah, it's hard to top it. And I definitely had some motivational problems to kind of get going there right after to start training. Basically, I mean, we played till middle of June, and like end of July, I had to start working out with Holger and jump in the gym and do the frog jumps, and that's just
like, come on, man.
I was shaking my head like, are you serious right now? So that was tough, but once I did get my rest and got away after the Euros, now I'm having fun again. It was tough for me to get into it. I had a couple problems with my knees, but yeah, after that I feel good again.
It's just, if one thing is, I mean, the proverbial Moby Dick, I mean, once at some point it's like, I've chased this thing for so long, now what? You know, it's only human, I think.
Yeah, that. But now I think it's almost like, you know, the feeling was so sweet, you know. Let's try to get that again. Let's try to get this excitement in the city. And so now I guess we're chasing it again.
Well, we pride ourselves in talking to you without asking you any questions about current events, about the current season, so I don't want to break stride on that front right now. I mean, you got enough people asking you all the same questions about this and that.
That's
and the other
right.
thing.
Whatever you guys want to talk about.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Let's here it is.
No, I just wanted to go to the moment that you did win it all, because we talked about you leaving the stage after the Oklahoma City win. And then I guess you ran off the court and were nowhere to be found in Miami, right? What?
No, I came back.
Well, you came back. we
Scooter went and got him.
Yeah, Scooter got me. Well, what happened was in 08, which was my huge dream, I made it to the Olympics. And already in those last couple minutes, we were up big, and the game was kind of slowly. We were basically shooting free throws the last 2 minutes, and I already felt like I was tearing up a little bit, and then it just all came out, and I was still on the court, and I was started crying, and then I ran out. So in Miami, basically, we were up 10 with just whatever 2 minutes left, and it was kind of done deal. So I already felt the same feeling that I felt in 08. So this time I was like, let me not wait, let me just run out real quick and gather myself and get a couple minutes. And I was laying back there in the shower on a little bench, and I had a towel on my face. And so then the PR guy from the league runs in, Tim Frank. He's like, you got to come out, you know, the presentation, the trophy or whatever. I was like, I don't want it, you know, leave me alone. And then Scooter came in too a couple minutes later. He's like, hey, bro, you're going to regret this if you don't go out there. You know, the pictures, the interviews, and it's going to be everywhere. So I needed a couple minutes, and I made it out there for the presentation. Obviously, now looking back, that was definitely the right thing to do.
So that emotional, that rush of blood,
yeah,
or whatever.
I guess, you know, once you reach your dream, you know, it's just everything just crashes down for a second, and just so emotional after, and everything goes through your head. You know, like I said, the million frog leaps with Holger through the gym in a freaking 110 degree gym, and where there's no AC in Germany in the gym. So all that goes through your head, all the work you put in, and all the teammates you had over the years to help you, and just a lot of stuff goes through your head. And I needed a good 5 minutes, and then I was okay. Actually, I made it better than I thought through the presentation. You know, I made it better than I thought.
So if you were on the court when triple zeros, maybe you curled up behind the basket or something, just balling,
yeah,
like a little baby. Huh?
Yeah, I would have maybe. I don't know what I would have done.
Didn't want that on YouTube.
Exactly. I did the right thing and came back out strong.
You know what I love about Game 6 is hearing stories about, I don't even know if they're true or not, but I love the stories of Brian Cardinal giving you the business at halftime.
Oh, yeah.
Where
Brian Cardinal is the best. I mean, he's such... Yeah, he's great. He always has something smart to say, and And so I'm like obviously pissed at half. I'm like 1-85. I'm so brutal. But we're still up, and Brian, like, I see Brian, like, you know, he does the double fist bump the whole time. It's like, what is your problem? He's like, I love it. He's like, you got all the misses out of the way. So you're going to make them all in the second half. So I've done nothing but smile at him. And but really, I mean, the team was phenomenal. Jet in game six, and JJ had some big baskets. And so all the guys really, really were phenomenal. So I really feel, looking back, I wasn't great in the Portland series, and I wasn't great in the finals. To me, my best series were L.A. and Thunder. I think that's where I almost played out of my mind. But I think in the first round and in the finals, actually, the team carried me.
Well, if you don't mind me saying, the final 35 seconds or so in Game 2 were pretty salty.
Yeah.
The pull-up three and then the left-handed figure roll.
Probably that was the best about those finals, that comeback. I mean, we're down, whatever, 15 and couple of minutes left, and you know, just getting stop after stop, battling for each other, and really that's when we're our best. And we said all year long, we don't have to take a ball out, or set offense sometimes a little slow and stagnant, and that run we just kept getting stops and stops. And we got a couple of layups, got some transition baskets, and that definitely was a great comeback.
I know you guys on that particular Miami game too. Were you shocked that he didn't foul you, Bosch? Because I know you guys talk about it in the huddle, hey, they have a foul to give, and I saw you backing him down a little bit, and you were thinking, like, okay, so he didn't foul me? And then you just go around with the left.
What I was thinking, actually went early, you know, went with, like, 10 seconds to go, because I thought for sure they're going to foul. They're going to make us take the ball out, slide out of bounds. And we actually went through two plays. Because if they foul you, you might have to take it out on the other side, and then the whole thing gets mixed up. So I went early thinking for sure Bosch is going to foul me, and then they might switch Haslam on me for the second part. But then I made the move, and I spun. I figured somebody's for sure there, and I just saw the lane. So I was like, hey, this is now or never. So I basically took one more hard dribble and went in there and was able to lay it in. Obviously, it was... For that big of a moment, it was for sure too easy.
It's almost like a light bulb went over in your head when you bumped him a couple of times and said, "Okay, this cat's not going to foul me. Let me go."
There was no foul coming, and we actually anticipated it. So, but we definitely took it.
Silly LeBron not coming on the double team, and then there was that awesome moment where Tyson kind of pushed. Was it Haslam out of the way a little bit?
On the three?
No, I'm talking about on the left-handed layup. There's a great picture out there. I hope you've seen it. On that three where you're holding the foul through and looking at the crowd, and they're all, I mean, the whole Miami contingent is just terrified at Dirk ripping their heart out. Pretty epic.
Great memories, for sure.
But the how about working in the gym with Holger on that fadeaway that has become now a silhouette on a shirt?
You know,
is that something you just came up with last year?
Well, you know, we always shoot like we shoot some runners off one legs in practice, but we never really shoot that fadeaway step back that I actually shoot now. Holger doesn't actually like that shot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it kind of came out of nowhere because really, you know, once you get older, you don't really feel like dribbling 100 times and making this long move. So all this really is create a little separation and still get the shot off. And really, that's all it is. You know, I'm usually taller than my defenders. And once I create a little separation, I'm tall enough to get my shot off. And that's really where that came from. But it's not like that we practiced that shot a million times. It's just that, I guess, kind of came out of nowhere.
It's awesome.
Thank you, sir.
It's like Kareem Skyhook or something. You don't know why more people
trying it now.
They are.
Kobe, Durant. You're the grandfather.
His was sexier, Kobe said that. Yeah, I saw that.
All right. Let's see. What else? Oh, I wanted to bring up this. You have an office? I'm just writing notes as you talk. You just said, "Yeah, I hung that in my office." So
yeah, I don't think I've seen the inside in 2 years. But
is your home here?
Yes, there's an office in there. Got a nice chess set where you can play some chess if you want.
When's the last chess match you played?
A couldn't even tell you.
Okay.
I mean, I know how to play.
That's something you want to do.
I know how to play, but I haven't played in a while.
Might challenge you to play like, iPhone chess.
Do you play iPhone games?
I don't. No. I just got the iPhone. I was a huge BlackBerry guy, and I just finally switched about a month ago. It was actually finally time. I love the soccer app on the iPhone, by the way.
Welcome.
Yeah. So that's big.
Are you big on Twitter?
I mean, I don't tweet as much because I'm not. I don't want to be the guy that says, "Hey, I'm going to the bathroom."
Yeah, good
now,
morning.
Actually, yeah.
You don't want to do that.
Afternoon tweets like tricks every 2 seconds. that's not really
so
what I want to do.
Sucks.
Yeah. That's not really what I want to do. But if I have something funny to say or something comes to my mind that I want to share, I'll share it.
My 10-year-old daughter Ava is now a huge Dirk fan.
Really?
So it's weird just to see your face all over her bedroom.
That's sweet.
But there it is. So she had a couple questions that she wants to know.
Fire them out.
Mind. Video game. Do you play video games? What's your favorite? Because she loves the Wii.
You know, I guess growing up we played some, but back then, gee, I'm so old. We had like Nintendo still. We had the Tetris and
so
maybe Super Mario Brothers and stuff when I was growing up.
But not now? You're no longer a video game guy?
No, I'd rather read a book before I take a video game.
Favorite sport besides hoops?
Love tennis. I think that's obvious. Everybody knows that by now. I even went to the Dallas Challenge Tournament last week out in Las Colinas at the Four Seasons. Had a blast. Watched my boy Tommy Haas play.
Can anyone on the team give you a game?
On the team, JJ Barrera used to be nice. His mom was a tennis coach in Puerto Rico growing up, so he had a little game. Paige actually claimed he had a little game, but, I mean, his back is so messed up. There's no chance he's challenging me. But I don't think now...
When's the last time you played?
I swung with Tommy last week a little bit while I was out there. You know, after I watched his match, he won. And then they go hit on like a side court just to wind down a little bit. And I was like, I'll play. So I took his coach's racket, and we played for like 5 minutes, just hit a little bit. I was decent now, obviously not anymore, but growing up I used to play a lot. I used to play tournaments and have a decent serve.
Have you had a chance to mingle with, this isn't an Ava question, but have you mingled with Boris Becker since you?
I met Boris numerous of times.
Okay.
Good dude.
Was that awesome
funny.
The first
he's
time you met him?
Yeah, it was great. And he's actually a Miami fan, which actually makes him less awesome. But he is.
He was at the 06 finals.
He was at the 06 finals. He was rooting for Miami.
No.
Yes, he was.
Because he lives in Miami basically for the last, whatever, 20 years already. So he's a Miami Heat fan. And so last year we got him back, which was great.
And he cuts his own hair. He inspired you on that front as well, right?
He cuts his own hair?
Yeah.
Where do you learn this?
Well, I don't know, but Dirk has dabbled a little bit.
Yeah, no, I always said when I was growing up, when I was like 12, 13, he was like the hottest thing out. And so I was like, hey, I want a haircut like Boris. So I would sit there and she would cut whatever and I'd be happy, even though it was nowhere near Boris's cut. But Boris was all over when I was growing up. So I love tennis. I was at Wimbledon twice, which was an unbelievable experience. You know, the holy ground for tennis.
How'd you like to sit behind Dirk at Wimbledon?
Yeah,
actually, I was in the lounge.
Oh, there, okay, good,
know,
good.
I'm big time.
Yeah.
Had a great time. Met Federer a couple times. I met him actually again in the Olympics in 2008. He's a great dude. Obviously, an unbelievable sportsman. So, yeah, I was fortunate to do a lot of great things and meet a lot of great players.
Is it easier to hide out here or over there now? Because I was watching the 60 Minutes piece or somebody, Henrik Lundqvist, who you may have no idea who that is, but the goaltender for the New York Rangers,
mm-hmm.
was saying it's a lot easier to hide in New York. Now, he's normal height.
Yeah, I can hide in New York for some reason, but when you're 7 feet, it's tough to hide.
But he's talking about it's tough to be in Sweden now for him, and I'm curious if it's tough to be you in Germany these days.
It's, over the years, I picked up, I think, when I first got here, and I went back, I could walk through Berlin, and no problem, you know, just pick up a sausage or whatever we eat.
How stereotypical.
A schnitzel sandwich, yeah, on the way. Whatever in Berlin, but these times obviously have changed, you know, especially how many people recognize what we've done last year, win the championship here, how many people got up at 3, 4 in the morning, watch every game. I think That was phenomenal. Really made me proud. So
that had to give you chills to see the live shots of Germany.
Saw the live shots. I saw everything after, because during, I mean, everybody said, my family was like, hey, it's going nuts here. Everybody's getting up at night. But I try to be focused, and I try not to read media and stuff during the playoffs. And so I'll watch that later. You know, even on my street when we won it at 5 in the morning, they did the auto thing where everybody's driving and dancing on the streets. Like really, it was a soccer Euros or something was going on. So that was really special.
What was a cooler parade, there or here?
It's tough. I mean, to be honest,
I mean, that's your hometown.
It's my hometown.
Everybody's out there.
Yeah, everybody was there. But I mean, here, I mean, what, 200,000 people on the streets? It was insane.
I bet he'd give that opposite answer. If
screw Dallas. It's tough. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't have thought it would be possible in a soccer country to have a parade like that. There were like thousands and thousands of people there. I got to write something in the Gold Book of Würzburg, and so I'm in there.
Whoa,
the Gold Book of Würzburg?
Yeah,
with the mayor. So I'm in there forever.
Like something out of Lord of the Rings or something. The Gold Book.
What did you write in there?
I said, hey, thanks for the great reception, and you know, I'm Würzburg for life or something crazy.
Yeah, you didn't have to share.
WFFL.
Take that with
WFFL.
You.
WFFL. For sure.
You didn't have to share that parade with all the teammates, too.
I was by myself. Actually took my family, and my sister was on there. My dad was on the wagon. And but then when I got in this building, it's called the residence in my hometown. This was this huge building with this huge square in front. And so I was the only one on the balcony, and I come out and look down, and there were just 10,000 of people, and that was special too. So
awesome, dude.
And then the last thing we have.
What else have I got?
We don't know if this seems weird that this isn't all over TMZ, but it apparently is in the German websites, claiming that on Valentine's Day you got engaged to your girlfriend.
The German newspapers are saying that.
Here you go.
Well, tell us what it says, actually, Dirk, because we have no idea.
Well, somebody tried to loosely translate this story for me.
No, it's actually true.
Whoa! Really?
That's true.
How did that go down? What did you do? Did you?
Because that came out last. It came out last May that Dirk might have got.
Yeah,
engaged, right?
It came out. The rumor. It was basically rumored 3-4 times last year.
But it was bullshit last year.
Yes.
It was
bull. It was wrong last year, and this year it did happen. And
How does the German media get this and none of the hounds over here?
A good question. I think everybody over here was kind of like, you know, everybody's kind of...
We're focused on Chloe?
No, I think it's been reported so many times that people felt stupid reporting again and maybe being wrong again. So I guess they waited, but I mean, the German media reported that already right after it happened, so it's been out for a couple of weeks.
You dropped down on one knee?
Had to.
You still taller than her?
No.
You dropped down on one knee?
I wasn't.
So, do you have a big day planned? Have you named a day?
No, not yet. Okay. Might actually be not until next summer. So,
look at you, dude.
We'll see. We're working on it.
According to this website, Jessica, that's her name,
mm-hmm.
has a boulder on her finger.
A boulder?
Very large.
That's okay.
Ring of some sort.
You didn't get the Western Conference Finals trophy.
So you didn't file it? Did you
put it in a ring?
It's a little basketball.
For sure. What do they tell us? A month and a half or 2 months salary is what we're supposed to spend on the rings. So I
for wow.
You, that's a really big ring there, Dirk.
Yeah, no, let's not get into all that.
So you didn't do it on the Jumbotron?
No.
I
was thinking about it, but it'll be a little much.
That's awesome, dude. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Pretty good year for you, and we have held you hostage for a record amount of time.
Yeah.
But it's always great, and you brought a lot of smiles. Way to go, man.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
The great Dirk, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Good time.